Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Kerry Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. Last Wednesday night of 2010. And this programming note, if the Jaguars are not in the playoff mix, next week we return to the one-hour off-season edition of the show. So this is out of season? Okay, I'm sorry. Could you say that into the microphone, please, Joe?
Out of season.
Not my microphone, the microphone near you.
That would be out of season.
Are you drinking out of a styrofoam cup over there?
No, I have a can.
All right, just want to make sure.
And it's a company can.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Vic Ketchman is here. Jeff Lagerman is here.
You want to explain that, the whole out of season thing, what that means?
Because there is no off season.
Correct.
Right. It's a year-round sport nowadays. As we learned, was it Gene said that?
That was Gene. Yeah.
That's his phrase. And he was just in here, sitting and interviewing for his pregame.
He's a freaking genius.
He invented that, out of season. He invented that.
Oh, I thought you thought he invented the freaking genius stuff.
No. He didn't do that. I know who did.
Loggy did it, didn't he?
I know that guy. We have a relationship.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's another show.
Dark Alley's kind of relationship.
That's another show altogether. So, yeah. Light it up, folks. Jaguars, if they win and the Colts lose, Jaguars are in the playoffs. Any other scenario doesn't work. And, of course, the Jaguars now, as we know today, will go without David Garrard on Sunday, without Maurice Jones-Drew on Sunday. So it's a steep hill to climb. Even against a team that's lost 8 of their last 9.
You know, here's the crazy part. You know, I've been thinking about this afternoon, and this really is mind-boggling. I wrote my story. The angle to my story, the lead to my story was that David Garrard is out, and Trent Edwards will be auditioning for his future with the Jaguars on Sunday. Except you could be playing to win the division title. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. The division title will be on the line Sunday for either the Colts or the Jaguars to win. If the Colts win, they win it. If the Colts lose, the Jaguars will win it by beating the Texans. You know, the Texans aren't a tall order. They look like they've shut it down. I mean, they played a miserable football game against Denver.
All I'll say is this. If you're going to beat them, you're going to have to score what, Loggy? 27 points, 28 points?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. I mean, that's kind of what they're averaging.
And I'm wondering their ability to score points without Maurice and without David.
All right, so I'm trying to paint this mind, mind-boggling range.
Well, let me just add to that. You said the Texans that you know, packed it in against Denver. I watched that tape today. They played hard.
Okay. Now, see, I've talked to other guys, and they're done. I mean, all right, I'll go with you. But anyhow, either way, you've got this mind-boggling range. To the one extreme, they're playing for a winning record and to get a look at their backup quarterback, one of their backup quarterbacks for 2011. That's the one extreme. The other extreme, you're playing a game that could give you the division title and a home playoff game the following weekend. All right. Now I want to tell you, when this team went on this two game tailspin here, Colts, Redskins, the purchase of playoff tickets stopped. It stopped. And this team would be looking at a mountain of tickets to sell in 4 days to get this baby on TV should they make the playoffs. And it would almost be impossible. I mean, it's so many tickets to move, just the cheap ones.
Yeah, it's 9,000 tickets a day.
All right. So, you know, you've got this unbelievable range where you could be just playing out the string or you could be coming home, Sunday night with the idea that, you know, open the ticket window, baby. We got to sell or we're going to be looking at an embarrassing situation.
Right.
I've never, in all the years that I've done this, I have never covered a situation that has this kind of range to it.
Well, there's a first for you in 39 seasons. Now you can say you've covered just about everything.
The closest one for me was 1989. I had a similar situation.
But see, you kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say manufactured, but you created that range. And to me, the only...
What do you mean I created that range?
Well, I mean, you didn't create it. I'm just saying you see more than I do. I've never looked past that, you know, the two games that are going on at 4 o'clock is all that matters.
Yeah, but what did I say that isn't accurate?
No, what he's saying is that you mixed the playoff scenario, the ticket sales scenario.
Yeah, you got the tickets into that, and then you got the evaluation of Trent Edwards in the future.
Yeah, well, that's your range. I mean, on one hand.
No, I know, but I mean, that's not my range. Jeff, I didn't see that.
They could, let's say that something happened to number 18 in Indianapolis on the first play of the game. Let's say he tripped and he hurt his knee. Let's say he ate bad shrimp. You know, and he's not playing. He ain't gonna beat anybody. Without him, they're not gonna beat anybody. All right?
Correct.
If the Jaguars were to win, the Colts lost, the Jaguars won the division title, I almost guarantee you, the Jaguars would be playing on Saturday. All right? Small market.
Well, every wild card game they've ever played has been a Saturday game.
Exactly. Exactly. You wouldn't even have 7 days to get this thing humming. You'd have six. I've never covered anything like this.
You'd have to cross that bridge when you got to it.
And I'm just, I hope, Rasheem Mathis and the veterans called
Uche
it a players-only meeting on Monday. And I really hope that did some good, because I hope these guys haven't shut it down. I hope they're not playing for just a winning record. I hope they understand that they got to get after it.
No, this game's about a playoff.
You betcha it is.
You're darn right.
How do those meetings go? Do they ever have any lasting benefit, any impact of any sort?
I don't know. I've never seen one that's really meant a whole lot. Or that has accomplished a whole lot.
Do you guys have one in 96?
Yeah, we had one in 96.
95, they had one.
96.
95, Wydell called. When you were hurt, but you still attended, didn't you?
I was there for every meeting we ever had.
Well, I remember Tom was manic about it. He wondered, what's your hair? You know, it lasted like 2 seconds. Someone stood up. You were the guy that stood up and said, that's all. Let's leave.
Yeah, that's why I've always believed that team meetings are a bunch of phooey. You know, and that's why And that was the 96, not 95.
Okay, it was one in 95, too, late in the season.
Well, we had a lot of meetings in 95.
he was rough on you guys, wasn't he?
You and Tom had lots of meetings in 95.
Yeah, but we had one meaningful one in 96, and I didn't want to call. I think a lot of those things are phooey.
Phooey.
And it turned into a... I guess you could say a kind of a bitch session.
Mm-hmm. Jackwagon convention?
And I just said, man, heck with that. I mean,
jackwagon?
We're not here to bitch. I mean, it's all about playing, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's complaining about the coach. And I finally told everybody, I said, look, because if you play for the coach, then you're not playing for the right reasons. And that was the end of the meeting.
That's
and,
right.
You
I like
know,
that.
So anyway, I just think that leadership is so much more important, day-to-day leadership. Than having speeches, because that's what all those things can be.
See, I'm with you on one thing for sure. What you said, you're going to Houston to play for a playoff.
Break. Darn right.
Nothing else. That this stuff about a winning record and auditions. You are playing for a playoff berth.
You are playing to win the game. Who said that?
Herman Edwards.
You play
to win the game.
To win the game.
But there's more here.
Absolutely.
There's more here.
You don't have that, Joe?
That's a great line.
Do you have the Jim Mora line?
I mean, that's really what you got to be.
I mean, if something
that's
happens.
That's the focus going down there. It's playing the game to win it and give yourselves an opportunity at getting in the playoffs.
If something happens that Kerry Collins gets hot or Chris Johnson gets hot, and 18 starts to throw interceptions again, this thing can change.
If Chris Johnson gets hot. That's all it takes.
It's all it takes. That's time
all
of possession.
All it takes.
All right, folks, your phone number this evening, 355-NFL-1 or 800-355-6351. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. And this reminder that Bueller Swiss watches are the official watch of the Jaguars, and you can grab your Bueller Swiss at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville. The Robison Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach. Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Florida, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. More to come. Jaguars this week right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. 4:15, the kickoff has been moved back. So your schedule says 1, it is now a 4:15 game. They've moved the Colts game back to 4:15 as well. In fact, they took a real dog of a game, the Seahawks and the Rams, and they moved that to the Sunday night primetime game. They flexed that so that they could have that battle decide the NFC West. Yeah. So little drama in the mix.
Hopefully we'll have a television on the plane.
We haven't had that at all this year, have we? Coming back from San Diego.
Just hoping.
That big plane. And
we can watch that game. It'd be kind of nice.
Yeah. It brings up the line in Major League.
That's not your plane. That's your plane.
Everybody out there who's older than 30 knows that movie. Vic knows it by heart. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Hey, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. More talk, less of nothing on this program. And we bring Bill on from the South Side. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you guys, who is the number 3 quarterback when Bowman isn't there? I think we're getting Bowman back or somebody.
Bowman has been back.
Okay, who's the other guy?
What's this last game of the year? It's Zach Miller. How's that?
Yeah, that's who. Well, it's one of the Zachs or Costadine or something. Okay.
But we really don't have a third. I guess Zach has to clear.
He's the emergency guy.
Yeah, and Zach is not on the injury report, but he should be.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He had a concussion.
He did not practice today.
Yeah.
So he's got to pass the test in order to be able to play this week against the Texans to be that third quarterback.
Who would it be if it wasn't Zach Miller? They have a guy. Who the heck is it?
Vic Ketchman.
No, there's a guy on the team that played some quarterback.
Paper Jaguar. Vic Ketchman.
I'll think of it. There is another guy who plays some quarterback in college.
Adam Podlish?
No. No, I'll think of it.
All right. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Edwards goes in. I already had a pretty good week of practice the week of the Colts, where the hamstring was an issue with David.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't really heard that much about him on the practice field all season long.
No, I haven't either.
One day. I mean, what can you tell? I mean, he's running the scout team.
Right.
You know, that's always amazed me. You know, in 10 years of practicing and watching practices, I never understood why the starters got all the reps. I never got that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, everybody else plays a lot and they rotate, but you still give reps to everybody. In the NFL's today's day and age, it's like the backups, they never get a sniff of reps, and they say, "Oh, we took mental reps." Well, it's not the same. There's a way to get a backup reps, and I don't understand why teams don't find a way to get the backup more reps during the course of the week to rest a starter who gets battered and bruised on Sundays.
Do you suppose that both of these guys, Bauman's going to get some reps this week on the practice field?
I don't think Bauman will. I mean, if Trent's going to be the guy starting, because Bauman has been around the system for a long period of time, he's taken snaps this year, then I would think that during the course of this week that 95% of the reps will all go to Trent, and that maybe Bauman gets a few. But they've got a lot of confidence in Todd. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I mean, they got him off the tractor
Tuesday,
and then he played and started the game in Kansas City, and he did well. You know, so that certainly makes you feel better about it. And Trent played in that Monday night game without getting snaps, and then, you know, he got hurt. So you'd like to be able to get him all the reps that you can get.
It might have been Considine who played some quarterback in high school.
Joe tells me we have got to get Chip on from the South Side before we take a break for a news at the bottom of the hour. Chip. Joe pushed you right to the front of the line. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
I just want to say something. When we got a NFL team back in 1995, I was a fan of the Denver Broncos, hardcore NFL fan. I knew at that point I had to bleed Jaguars. And I've made it a purpose to at least attend one game per year. And in the early 2000s, I was able to do season tickets for 3 and then 1 year in 2007. Great years, stinky years. But I will say one thing. I love this team. I love what they're doing. I love the NFL. Vic, you rock. And I'm buying season tickets next year, regardless of what we do, for one reason.
For Vic, right?
This city has a National Football League team, and I love it.
Yeah, but you're buying the season tickets because Vic rocks. Yeah. Will you just say that on the air so we can link it to something in his column?
I am buying season tickets specifically because Vic rocks.
Yeah.
Vic, that can help a contract.
Not 9-7. Yeah. 9-7 is not a dysfunctional football team. All right. If this team is to finish 9-7, that's not dysfunctional. Although I do understand the disappointment, this recent disappointment. People are expressing it for the Redskins game, but I think that's a delayed reaction. I really think what what we're getting here this week for the failure against the Redskins is really the disappointment from the Indianapolis game.
See, I disagree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think it's a delayed reaction. I think it's a compounded reaction.
Cumulative?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll go with that, yeah. I think they were disappointed by the performance in Indianapolis, and then, like Jeff said, this most recent failure compounded the situation. When we look back on this season, it's just going to be real simple. It's the game in Indianapolis. It was there for them. That was the game. That was the way to win. That was the way to do it in style. Beat the champion in the champion at their place, claim the title, and really win the title. Not come in the back door. Not slide in the window, you know, knock on the door, take the title, and then rest. Rest your injured players for a couple weeks and get ready to make a strong playoff, bid beginning at home. And it would have sold tickets. You would have had that time, you know, to sell tickets to really do it upright. So you can go back and you can say, well, if they had beaten the Titans or if they had beaten the Giants, phooey. It was right there for you in Indianapolis, and they laid an egg. I mean, they played very poorly.
Appreciate the phone call, Chip. We'll grab James from Mayport before news. James, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Good.
Now, I'm buying season tickets next year because Brian Sexton's the man.
Yeah.
Joe, did you get that? Because that doesn't say it. Thank you. Thank you, James. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
You're welcome. Anyways, I got a quick comment for Jeff. Now, Jeff, when our boys are down there on the field and it ain't looking so hot, do you still wish you could put your uniform on and get down there and whoop some butt? And then I'll put my answer off the air. And the other, I got a comment for your show coming up this weekend on your fishing show.
All right, well, we'll talk to you.
What about that blind lady catching that big old channel cat out of the river? Wasn't that beautiful?
I didn't see that. I'll have to do a little research on
that.
Neither
did she.
The line of the year.
That was good, Vin.
Right there.
That was good, Vin. To answer James's question, do I really desire to suit up?
Nah. Let's play golf.
No, you know what, though? I mean, there are moments. I mean, when the big games roll out, mm-hmm. You know, I remember when we went to Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. Those are the games you wish you could put on the pads one more time. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, those type of games, I mean, that's what playing a game is all about.
James, I can say for sure he'd like to cash the check on Tuesday, though, still.
That would be even better.
Let him cash the checks.
That would be even better.
Tuesday. We certainly appreciate your phone call. Enjoy it out in Mayport. Time for news at the bottom of the hour. Folks, on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Hey, folks, want to thank the folks at Sonny's all season long. They have thrown out a free barbecue pork sandwich to anybody who showed up with a game day game-winning ticket stub. And hopefully you got around all the North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecues and enjoy it.
I could use one of them right now. I really could. Big old sloppy
one or
pork
two.
Sandwich with coleslaw, a little bit of that smoked chicken salad that they
John
have
Ranieri,
at the salad bar.
If you're listening,
and
it's
some
a commercial
banana pudding.
Waiting to happen.
Mm.
You got an hour and whichever enterprising Sonny's manager would like to bring that by right now. We're at Everbank Field. It's a commercial waiting to happen, as if this wasn't. So thanks to all the folks.
All right, we've gone beyond disgraceful now. Okay, seriously.
Whatever it takes, folks. We need to eat. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Tony is in Mandarin. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi. Jeff, I'd like to ask about your perception of how the Jaguars practice. And this question comes from someone who is in the stands for the home games and watches on TV. And what I saw before the game ever started this past Sunday was during player introductions, normally the non-starters come out and then the starters are introduced, and I saw several players straggle out during that process. And then during the coin toss at the field at the start of the game, I saw Mathis come running out after it already started as though he had, you know, forgotten to go out with the captains. And then, of course, we had the bad kickoff, a penalty, interception. Before the first quarter was over, we probably had a half a dozen penalties, two of which was the same player lining up all sides.
All right, so, Tony, what's your question?
The question is, how do they practice? Is there any intensity or any attention to detail that would try to get them more focused for a game?
Well, once you got to that question, you won. So hold on the line. You've won 20 Jaguar scratch-off tickets from the Florida Lottery. To play for the Jaguar scratch-off game, visit a Florida Lottery retailer near you. I won't lie to you, Tony. When you went on and on and on, I was thinking about pulling it.
But yeah, he about lost you, Tony.
You about lost the 20 tickets, but you won it because you finally came through
the
question.
I don't think you're going to satisfy Tony with the answer because Tony's got it figured out.
Well, I don't have the answer.
Because we can't watch practice.
We are not allowed to watch practice, and that's a good thing.
it is a good thing.
Now, yeah, we honestly, we are not allowed, and, you know, they let you watch warm-up, basically, but there's no way of telling. Now, about your other point, you watched them, you know, you didn't see a lot of emotion before the game. You know, I remember trying to figure out the pulse of the teams that I played on. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, because I used to always try to predict, all right, how are we going to play today? And you'd kind of watch the warm-ups, you'd watch how guys reacted, and you just couldn't do it. It was almost nearly impossible, and I mean, that's a team that you know, I knew. And I've asked so many other guys along the way, were you ever able to tell how the team that you were on was going to play? And none of them could ever answer that question with 100% certainty. You know, sometimes you have a great week of practice and you don't perform on Sunday. Sometimes you have a terrible week of practice and then on Sunday you come out and boom, you light it up. I mean, there's just no way of knowing for sure. Now, the percentage are probably in the favor of having better practices.
Now, you know, it's all a matter of what you grew up with, what you grew up watching, what you're comfortable with. For example, if you grew up in a NFL town, NFL city, and if the NFL was what you watched all your life, and then you went to a college game and you saw them run out of the tunnel and then start jumping up and down on the pile, you know, at the huddle, bouncing up and down and guys flying out, and you say, what in the world are they doing? That doesn't make any sense to an NFL observer, an NFL fan. And I think what you're describing, you know, Mathis straggling out, and well, that's kind of the way it is in pro football. These guys have a job. It's a very individualized thing. They don't come out of the tunnel, you know, in a burst of flames and then jump up and down. And it's just, there's a big difference between college and the NFL.
Well,
and I think for a long time, the Jaguars have been held to the college standard, the college way of doing things around here, for the obvious reason that has been what this area has been raised on. And what you're describing is just, it's the norm. It's not the exception.
Well, and Rasheen coming out, you know, coming out late or whatever, straggling out, I guess was Tony's words. It could have been an equipment issue. It could have been a medical issue.
It could have been in the bathroom.
You don't know. You know, it's not that, to me, that's not that big of a deal. But I understand why you're asking that, because the beginning of that game, the start was poor. And that's a good question.
Yeah, but the guy that he didn't
have a start.
But the guy
that.
he didn't ask about was Scobie. Scobie caused it. The kick was crap.
It's all Scobie's fault.
The face mask was crap, and that's why you're there at the 45-yard line. The start was bad.
Yeah, start wasn't good.
Because the kickoff was bad. It all starts there.
And when you have a game of magnitude, whether it be at Indy or at the Washington Redskins, you want to start with something that's positive. And not start where you're just kind of sitting there waiting for something positive to happen. You know, in the Indy game, I kind of felt like there was a wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Redskins game, pretty much obvious that it didn't start well.
No. But, you know, Mathis had a good game, right?
Yeah, he played pretty well.
Well, then he ought to come out of the tunnel late more often.
I don't know if you could say any defensive player played poorly in that game. I mean, defensively, if I'm correct, and Brian, you got the numbers.
Right.
Is that the lowest yardage output they've allowed an opponent this year?
Yes.
To me, I thought the defense was outstanding. They gave up one drive, and they got put in some bad positions. I mean, you know, they got the ball on the 48. They held them to a field goal. They got the ball on the 18. They gave up a touchdown, and two penalties led to that touchdown.
And then the interception in overtime.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even have a chance in overtime.
13 of the 20 points.
I give the defense credit. I thought the defense played very well. Now, offensively, man, David didn't play very well with that interception early on, you know, and I understand he's thrown more touchdowns than interception, you know, but there is a stat that he's got to improve on, and that's interceptions per attempt. And to me, that's really the gauge of how careful a quarterback is with the ball. And David is 30th in the National Football League. You know, people say, well, he's thrown this number of interceptions, and Eli Manning has thrown 24 or whatever his number's at now.
Right.
Well, yeah, but Eli's thrown the ball 500 and something times.
Should an allowance be made for his injury in these past two games?
Sure.
Did you see where the ball didn't float like
the ball
does?
Ball flew high out of his hand. Was that a hand issue? I don't know the reason for that, but I mean, if he's got fingers that is going to require medical attention, hey, yeah, I mean, you got to think about, hey, you know what, then what the guy did in the last two games was pretty doggone good. Now, I don't know when he heard it at
in
what point of
he heard,
that Indianapolis
in the first
game.
I believe it was the first half. Late in the second quarter. Of the Indianapolis game, he said it was just like a bee sting kind of thing, and then it just kind of went numb on him a little bit. But it wasn't a problem according to him in the India game. And then he said it worsened. Well, it worsened because the ligament is torn from the bone and it's starting to shrivel up like a French fry.
Well, hey, look, if he played with a hand like that, what he did in the second half at Indianapolis, and some of the throws that he did make here, that's pretty good.
And it's not a one-finger problem. It's the index finger and the second finger. The second finger is the bad one. It's going to get the surgery, but both fingers are hurt.
How many times have you seen, one of them sissy Philly players get a hangnail and all of a sudden they can't pitch? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
baseball?
I hate Phillies. I just hate the Phillies.
You know, it does bring an interesting point about the injury report.
There's a little shot there.
No, I'm not going to get my point in, but we'll take a break and come back. More to come. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. But 9 minutes left in hour number one. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Did you read the injury report?
I did. Something stand out to you?
Let
me read through it real quick for the folks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Justin Durant, David Garrard, Maurice Jones-Drew, Mike Sims-Walker did not practice today.
And Zach Miller.
Right. He's not on the sheet, but we were told that he needed to be on the sheet, and he will be. Safety Courtney Green was limited, and fullback Greg Jones was limited.
This doesn't sound good at all. This doesn't sound good. I mean, this
well, wait. Are you ready? Here's the Houston Texans. Linebacker Daryl Sharpton, who has been a starter since the Jets game and a hot young rookie they liked a lot, is going to injured reserve, did not practice today. Defensive tackle Sean Cody, starter, knee, did not participate. Tight end Owen Daniels, starter, knee, did not participate. Tight end Garrett Graham, backup, hamstring, did not participate. Wide receiver Andre Johnson, ankle, did not participate. Starter cornerback Sherrick McManus, hamstring, did not participate. Defensive tackle Earl Mitchell, ankle, did not participate. Kicker Neil Rackers, right hamstring, did not participate. Brian Cushing, limited. Bernard Pollard, limited. So, I mean, theirs is worse.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Chiefs have five losses, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 10-5.
And the Colts have six.
That's correct.
But the Colts beat the Chiefs. So who do the Chiefs have this week? Oakland?
Oakland. In Kansas City.
See, and what time is that game?
It's an early game.
Early means 4 o'clock.
Oh, it would be. No.
It would be the same time as the Jaguars and Colts are playing, right?
I got it right.
Because it's in Oakland.
Oakland at Kansas City.
Oh, it's at Kansas City.
It's a 12 p.m.
Oh, I can feel it coming. I can feel it coming.
What do you feel coming?
The Raiders beat the Chiefs.
Polian will have that one. He'll know the result of that game. So if the Chiefs were to lose that game, he knows that by... No. If
he can't do anything.
Yeah, he can. If the Chiefs win that game, then he knows he's locked at 4. He can't get higher.
With a win.
I mean, he's got a win to win the division.
Yeah.
But if he sees that the Jaguars are getting hammered.
Nah, he's not going to be able to
you
tell.
You watch. He'll tank it. You watch.
No.
You watch.
Games played simultaneously.
Man, I do not want to come home with, 8-8 and the Colts have lost. It will be murder. The fans will go bonkers next week if they both lose.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
There is no doubt that if the Colts lose and the Jaguars.
And as much as Polian hates me, he'll do it on purpose.
So it's all about you.
Have you just figured it out?
I have not had a good week. Have you been reading Ask Vic? It's hell. It's a war zone. I'm telling you.
Hey. Suck it up, you jackwagon.
We're off to Manby Tissues Land. Crybaby.
I mean,
you jackwagon?
These guys have got to go there to win. I really hope they are fully committed. They need that ninth win. They need that winning season, and they need to say we did everything we could to make the playoffs.
I don't expect Andre Johnson to play.
No, he's not going to play.
So it's going to be about stopping Arian Foster.
But you know what, though? I mean, the way they had guys playing at Denver.
Jacoby Jones had 115 yards.
I mean, they can still play real well. They got two really good tight ends. Jacoby Jones can play. What's the other wide receiver's name?
Kevin Walter.
Kevin Walter's a good player. I mean, number one back in the league. And what is he among running backs as far as receptions? Probably number two?
64 receptions.
Behind the guy in Philly?
Yeah. And he's got 2,030 total yards.
I said it back when the Jaguars were getting ready to play the Houston Texans the first time. And I said he's the best back in the NFL. And it's not even close.
Yeah.
He is the best back, period. Jamaal Charles is a close second right now. And I'm talking about performances this year.
Wow. I mean, I think of that. Arian Foster and Jamaal Charles came out of nowhere.
I know.
That's amazing.
You know, Maurice, you know, where are you going to put him at?
He's starting
the
Pro Bowl.
I was just about to ask you if you're surprised that he got the starter's nod over Foster.
No, I'm not. It's just because that's how the Pro Bowl works. 1 year for recognition, the next year to get the votes. And so I understand why Maurice got the votes. But I guarantee, I mean, first of all, the fans would probably voted more for Maurice. But I guarantee there's some general managers and some coaches that wanted that vote to go to Maurice because they see what Maurice does when he doesn't have the ball. Yeah, which some of the things that he does is just truly amazing to watch. On turnovers, on blocking, he's a premier player. And I was kind of nervous for Mercedes because I thought, without a doubt, he deserved to go to the Pro Bowl, and I was kind of concerned that he wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, what did he come in, like 2 in fan voting?
Mercedes.
Yeah.
I didn't ever hear the.
I think I forget, but in the beginning he was way down the list.
Yeah, but somehow or another, I think it picked up. But either way, you know where the most of his votes came from, and that's the players and the coaches, because they respect what he does. And there's no question; there's not a better all-around tight end in the NFL.
I mean, the players and the coaches have always voted responsibly, and then they turned this for marketing purposes. They threw this in the lap of the fans and just turned this Pro Bowl thing into a I mean,
it's a mockery.
It is. I mean, it's
who's going to have the most
fraud.
Players
it's
in?
It's a third weight, you know. I mean, come on. It's not like it's, you know, if at least allowing them to participate.
Yeah, but they encourage fans to vote as many times as they wish. I mean that's just all that's saying is stack the deck. It's not what you do to be fair.
Well, what it does is it clearly gives the bigger markets an advantage.
No exactly. Question.
But they have one anyway. I mean, they have one anyway from an exposure standpoint. I mean, there were years where you never saw guys that made the Pro Bowl because we didn't see them on tape or we didn't get to see them on Monday night or Sunday night. So, I mean, that's just the big market bias, and that's there whether you have fan voting or not. It just happens, you know. So you're never going to get away from that.
355-NFL1. Grab a quick call before we break for news at the top of the hour.
You know what I'd like to see, though?
Okay.
I mean, because right now it's players, coaches, fans. I would love to be able to see a 25% equal weighting across the board or maybe in some fashion to where it's players, coaches, fans, GMs or personnel, you know, personnel. For example, Gene Smith and his guys would have a vote. They would fill out what their roster is because they're watching tape. I mean, you know,
they watch more tape than anyone.
Terry McDonough, you know.
But they have
guys.
Financial axes to grind. They can hold a guy back, and it's going to save them money.
No, because they can't vote for their own guy.
Okay, they can cost their competition money, and that's a problem if you got a salary cap.
Well, I don't think that. I mean, when you got 32 votes like that, nah.
Players and coaches, back before anybody else did it, when they just did it, it was always had integrity. It always was a successful way of doing it.
All right. Phone lines are beginning to light up. We'll wait till after the news here at the top of the hour, but we've got some folks on there.
Before you go, Vonta Leach has had this campaign all year long.
Leach to the beach.
Leach to the beach, mm-hmm. Right? You tell me that Vonta Leach is a better fullback than Greg Jones?
You tell me.
Hell no.
That's
hell
as
no.
As dramatic as you can be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong.
But he has the...
He's not better than Greg Jones.
But he has Arian Foster, the leading ground gainer, and that's how he got there, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's that whole marketing campaign thing. You know, like Josh Gobe had a little campaign going. You know.
He kicked himself out of the Pro Bowl.
I mean, I mean.
Who went? Who was the AFC kicker?
I forget.
His numbers didn't say Pro Bowl.
Kundiff?
Yeah, probably. Cause
man. Whoa, what a year he had.
Yeah, that's it. And tons of touchbacks, too. All right, news is next. The News Talk Radio, WOKV. Then we continue with Jaguars this week in what may be our final second hour of the season.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now back to Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, right along, hour number two, Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. You can join us, 800-355-6351, 355-NFL1 if you're listening in Jacksonville, at Jags Voice, if you want to do the whole Twitter thing. And I've got one from Steven who wants to know what you think of Courtney Greene now, how he looked coming back, and is he a long-term solution at one safety spot?
Well, I hope so. He certainly looked good in the game this past weekend. That play that he made there under 3 minutes where he popped the ball out of Santana Moss's hands, I believe it was Santana Moss.
It was.
That was a big-time play.
He made a big hit in the running game, too.
Oh, when the back turned the corner on that one and he just whacked him and sent him flying backwards, he's a nice player.
Big hitter of the green.
Yeah, he's a nice tackler. Got some instincts, you know, so. You know, and he's a big physical presence, and he can play in some space now. He's not limited.
Another one for both of you. Thoughts on Jason Hill? Impressions on who he is and what he can be?
Second best receiver they have?
Okay.
We had this conversation on Monday in the studio.
I mean, is that fair?
I mean, how do I say this?
He's got deep speed.
He looks like he has the ability to be the best that they have.
What does that say? Mike Thomas is a good.
It means it's a great find.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's nothing wrong with Mike Thomas.
Well, nothing
wrong with Mike Sims Walker.
What I asked you on Monday night, and that was, is there a chance that there's a little Jimmy Smith mixed in somewhere? You
he's
know,
got
a guy,
that kind of speed,
high draft pick, who washed out where he was, runs well, has good, he has good hands, right, Longs?
Oh, he's got great hands.
Okay. Is there a chance that perhaps his best football is in front of him? And Monday night, we talked about it. We thought there was a little similarity
there.
He's
coming out of San Francisco where that lunatic, you know, I mean.
Well, they had quarterback issues there. They had coaching issues there. Yeah. You know, you can't judge him for where he came from.
He had four catches for 77 yards on Sunday against the Redskins.
Could he should have had more.
Okay.
He could have gone for two.
200?
Yeah.
Well, he dropped one over the middle that could have been a big play.
The slam.
No. That went down in the play-by-play as a drop.
Right.
It was deflected. That was not a drop.
It didn't hit his hands?
It hit his hands, but it was a deflection, and he was lucky to even touch it.
Okay.
I actually went back and I was watching the tape, and I remember in the game, I was like, holy cow, it hit him right in the hands. He dropped it.
Uh-huh.
Went back and watched the tape, and not sure which defender it was with the Redskins, but that ball was tipped. It changed directions in a big way, and he was lucky to even touch it.
Jeff, is Jeremy Mincy a keeper? Is he a long-term guy? He looks like he's become more than just a stopgap.
I said it last year. Jeremy Mincy's a good football player. I thought last year he was the best defensive end on the roster. Jeremy Mincy is definitely a keeper because he's got great motor. He's got pretty doggone good awareness. The way he played the bootleg this past game against the Redskins I thought was outstanding. And he's going to make plays just because he's got a motor. And he's got the desire. He's got the work ethic. He's got the want to. And I mean, I've seen so many guys play the game. And they were, you know, the potential guys. Boy, he's got the potential to be really good. Boy, does he got, you know, this and he's got that. But, you know, you can't measure heart.
No, it never gets down.
Never have been able to measure heart. And Jeremy, the way he plays the game, plays with a big heart.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Bob's on the south side. Hello, Bob.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. I have a question that I think only Vic can give his unique perceptive on because it relates to Pittsburgh, and it's a media question. Today, Ben Roethlisberger received the award for the most outstanding Steeler for his friendliness and contributions with the media.
Yeah.
Did that exist in your days back there? That's what I wanted to know.
I'm going to take credit for having created it, and here's why. The year it was created, I was the president of the Pittsburgh chapter of the Pro Football Writers of America. Okay, yeah, stick it somewhere else, too, while you're at it. All right? 1984.
And this is so negative. That's it, buddy.
Well, thanks, Joe. Thanks. I mean, I'm trying to carry on a conversation with this man. All right, the year is 1984, the year it was created, and Lewis Lips was the first ever winner. It's called the Chief Award, and we created it that year, and it's named for the Chief, meaning Art Rooney Sr., whose nickname was the Chief, the owner of the team, and he considered the sports writer, the beat reporter, his friend. I mean, he called him my boys. Right? I take care of my boys. That's, you know, he always used to say that. And at the time, we were looking for some things that we could do with the organization, Rookie of the Year Award, and then this thing here we created. And Lewis Lips won the first ever one, and it's to go to a member of the Steeler organization who assisted the beat reporter with extra effort in his job, in doing his job. And now here's the funny story part of it. The Jaguars' director of communications, Dan Edwards, of course, was at that time the Steelers' PR guy. And one year, the candidates weren't real good. And we decided to nominate and eventually elected Dan Edwards as the winner of the Chief Award. All right? So the PR guy was going to get the Chief Award. And Dan Rooney said to me, get somebody else. I pay him to do that. He was going to win the award, and Rooney said, I pay him to assist the beat writer in his duties. You know, give it to somebody else, meaning a player.
Who got it that year?
Oh, we ended up giving it to a punter, Harry Newsom. He punted in the league for a few years. I mean, it wasn't Harry Newsom. It was somebody else, but it was a bad year. Anyhow, Ben Roethlisberger, Ed Bouchette called me today to tell me, hey, Roethlisberger won your award. the Chief Award, which is a big thing for him because he was not a particularly friendly guy to the media prior to this season.
So it shows how far potentially he has come from his dalliances in Georgia.
Smart enough to realize he needed an image makeover. Mm-hmm. Smart enough to realize that he needed some media friends. And who knows? Maybe he's changed. So good for him.
Who would be your nominee in the Jaguars locker room?
Oh, a ton of them. Terrence Knighton, I love. He's just been great. Mercedes Lewis has been fantastic. Maurice Jones-Drew, he's never missed a stand-up in front of the media at the appointed time. And these guys are always there to do conference calls with the opposing team's media. Uche Nwaneri's been fantastic. Mike Thomas is fantastic. Garrard has been great all year long. I mean, Rasheem Mathis has always been there. This is the best. This is the best locker room for writers such as myself I can ever remember here. Kirk Morrison.
He's good.
Sensational. It's just one after another, and I know I'm missing guys. I'm sorry.
Kasim Osgood.
Kasim Osgood. Montel Owens. These guys have just been fantastic all year long. Jeremy Mincy. He's like manna from heaven. I mean, this guy is... He's even better than Paul Spicer. You know, Spicer could be a pain in the butt from time to time.
Yeah, but he could give you something real good, too.
And by the way, this time last year I was in the hospital, and Paul Spicer was pursuing a Super Bowl championship with the New Orleans Saints, but he called my room.
Yeah.
He called me to say, how you doing?
Yeah.
So these are good guys. Don't think they're turds. They're not turds. They're good guys.
Grab a quick call here before we take our first break in hour number two. Don's on the west side. Hello, Don.
Hey, guys. Watching the games, you know, it seems that everybody likes to pick on David and Jack when the Jags lose. But it seems, from my perception, watching the games that have been on TV, thankfully no blackouts, that when they're losing and David's getting pounded, it seems like the O-line doesn't seem to be there.
Well, let me just say this about the offensive line. It wasn't good enough in the run game against the Redskins, to where they were playing a lot of guys that, I mean, weren't even starters. So you expected it to be better. Now, there were some things in pass protection. What was David sacked? Four times?
Yes.
I mean, two of them were on David all the way, maybe even three. You know, so I can't.
Slow getting the ball out.
Yeah. You know, has an option underneath. Did you watch that game last night?
I did not.
I did.
What'd you think of that game?
In what respect?
As far as the quarterback that played for Minnesota.
Joe Webb. I was very impressed.
Nice game. And then the other one that comes to mind is the, which I thought was the game of the week, Atlanta, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm, I watched that.
And did you watch how Drew Brees, you know, would shuffle in the pocket and then, you know, ball's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but how good he was at kind of having a knack and a feel for mm-hmm. when he needed to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
David's got to get a little better with that.
Can it be at this late stage of his career? Can it be taught to him? Can it be coached?
I don't think it's ever too late to learn. I really don't. I'm not a believer in that old saying.
I asked that question because, and I had this conversation with Gene Smith, who brought up the Andy Reid, Michael Vick example. You know, Michael Vick was never considered to be a thinking man's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in a very, very sophisticated offense, he's become a thinking man's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the credit is going to Andy Reid.
Andy and Marty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, both of them are outstanding developers of quarterbacks.
All right, folks, we need to take a break. We'll continue with more Jaguars this week, live from Everbank Field, presented by Aetna.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, here we go towards the bottom of the hour and another news break here, Jaguars This Week. Might be our final two-hour edition. If the Jaguars are not involved in the playoffs, we will go to a one-hour program next Wednesday night. We go now to Green Cove Springs, where John is standing by. Hey, John, how are you tonight?
All right, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I want to wish you a Happy New Year. Hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir, you as well.
And my comment is, you know, I've heard here ever since the game. Different things about the coach, David Garrard. You know, gotta go, gotta go. And, you know, we heard this 8 years ago about a coach named Coughlin. And how many people, and probably the same people that are doing this, were wanting him to go, and look what he did after he left us. I mean, I think you got to give, you know, there's a new process going on. We've got really a lot of young players that are really coming around, and I think you need to give this coach a chance. I think he's really done a good job with what he's had. And I think we need to, you know, people saying they aren't going to buy tickets next year, all this kind of stuff. No, that isn't the way to go. We need to buy the tickets. We need to go and you know, back this coach up. I think he's our best bet.
Well, that's a great thing about sports. You know, you mean, and the bad thing about sports, if you're in that profession, I mean, you know, people got opinions about you and about the job that you do. That's kind of comes with it. But that's the great thing about pro sports is that people have an opinion. And when people stop having an opinion, that's when you worry.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one opinion on your remarks, and then I'm going to stop there and I'll explain why. My opinion that I'm going to give you is, firing Tom Coughlin was a mistake. All right, now, I'm going to stop there, and the reason I'm going to stop there is because Culpepper asked me today if I was comfortable with doing a he should not be fired, you know, doing it both ways in the pregame show on Sunday. In other words, make a case for him staying and make a case for him not staying, and I said, yeah, I'll build a case both ways for him Sunday. So if you want to hear that, those opinions, tune in on Sunday during the pregame.
That's the
show.
Master teaser there. Very nice, but Vic. Very nice.
The Coughlin part of it, I say, was a mistake because I thought then, and I still
coach.
Do, that he's a hell of a coach. I said it then. Everyone was on him, you know, for running a boring offense, which was total garbage. I mean, it was just wrong. And everybody wanted Spurrier. Remember that?
I do.
Fire him so we can have Spurrier. Well, how'd that turn out?
I'll say this, and I don't listen to sports talk radio, so I don't know. But I'm guessing, John, that yours would be the lone voice in the wilderness. I'm sure that to any of those shows that exist in Jacksonville, the callers were the wolves howling.
John's house will likely be vandalized tonight.
Don't do that.
What was it? Was it Dan Devine? Was it Devine's home that was
hung his dog
in Green Bay?
Oh.
Right in the front yard. Isn't that nice?
Oh boy! Hey, people talking about the coach here in Jacksonville. The rhetoric in Houston is really loud. They're talking about
a rally.
Big
rally,
at the game this week to show their displeasure with Kubiak.
Yeah, they're going to tie his feet to the bumper of one car and his hands to the other and then pull
draw
apart.
And quarter him, is that it?
Yeah.
You know what Kubiak needs? You know what he needs?
Defense?
He needs a Dom Capers.
Yeah?
Look at what Mike McCarthy has gotten out of Dom Capers in Green Bay.
Well, the word is that the Texans are flirting with Wade Phillips. In fact, Bum.
Defensive coordinator?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Bum Phillips was on the practice field today with Dan Pastorini in Houston. And both of them were offering a show of support. And this little nugget came that Kubiak, who grew up in Houston, was a ball boy when Pastorini was the quarterback and Bum Phillips was the coach.
He has one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL.
He was married to June Wilkinson.
Who?
Pastorini.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah.
She must have been a hottie,
Yeah.
I'm looking her up right now.
What'd she do? She an actress
she posed,
or something?
She posed a lot.
Oh, she, yeah, okay. She was a model.
You could say that.
Yeah.
Did she have nice feet?
Oh, no.
She had a great pair of toes.
Easy, Rex.
Hold on. This is from Wikipedia. June Wilkinson, right? Mm-hmm. An English model and actress known for her appearances in Playboy magazine
and
films of the 1960s. Mm-hmm. She was one of the world's most photographed women in the late 50s and early 60s. At the height of her career, here you go. You ready for this? This explains the look on Vic's face. At the height of her career, she was called the most photographed nude in America.
Really? Wow. Yeah. So Dan Pastrini liked fast cars and beautiful women.
Let me tell you what Vito said once. We were on a bus after a game, and Pastrini was standing outside the bus with June Wilkinson, and someone said, "There's June Wilkinson," and Vito said, "Which one?" There was no question which one it was. Which one?
She met Dan Pastrini, NFL quarterback for the Houston Oilers and Oakland Raiders in 1972, and they were married in 73. They co-starred in the 1974 film Florida Connection, also known as Weed. For the producer of Rage, they divorced in 82. So there you go. Huh. There's the story, whether you wanted it or not.
They had a lot of good years together. God bless them.
How many years were they married?
Nine.
Hmm.
I beat him.
You beat him?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, twice. Beat him twice.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, so Dan Pastrini.
Great arm. Big guy with a great arm. Santa Clara, I think.
He played for the Raiders.
Played for the Oilers. Raiders briefly at the end.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He could really throw the football.
I remember him as an Oiler, and that's it.
Yeah, he had two really really good years. Earl Campbell in the backfield. Kenny Burrows was his top receiver. Rich Castor actually played with him for a while. Mike Barber was a tight end, good tight end with him. But the problem was that they kept running headfirst into you know who.
The Raiders.
The Steelers.
And the Steelers.
Yeah, and you know, and they should have won the Super Bowl twice, but they ran into the Steelers in the AFC title game and lost.
Well, it's interesting. It says that he was succeeded as the Oilers quarterback in 1979 by Ken Stabler, and then he went to Oakland where he was preceded by Ken Stabler.
Right,
so he and Ken Stabler switched spots.
Yeah.
All right. The snake.
Now he lives in Houston where he owns a racing team.
And then the reason he was traded was because he couldn't get over the Steeler hump, and Stabler had beat them in the 76 AFC title game, so Houston was at the end of the line. They got to get it done now, and then they didn't get it done. Stabler lost to him, too, and then Bum lost his job and went to New Orleans.
Third pick of the 71 draft.
Oh, no. Dan Pastrini had a huge arm. We're talking about Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
Yeah, we're talking about a Bradshaw, Elway, Marino arm.
They still play football there?
Yes, yes. Brent Jones is from Santa Clara, too.
Okay.
He had a Bradshaw, Elway, Marino type of arm.
And it says that, as we get ready to go to news, Pastrini's hobbies were racing hydroplanes, drag races,
and being married to June Wilkinson.
And judging wet T-shirt contests. That's what it says.
That's probably where he found her.
That's what it says on his Wikipedia page.
Good for him. Wonder if he still does that.
Jeff, they were free spirits back then. Now I want to tell you, these guys were free spirits.
The old days. Bring them back. We take a break. News is next. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Give it 20 more minutes. A little more than that for Jaguars this week. And again, if the Jaguars are not in the playoff picture, this is our last two-hour edition. We go 6 to 7 starting next week until the opening of training camp 2011. Time for some phone calls. We've got Charles on the south side of Jacksonville. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Brian, Jeff, and Vic? Happy holidays.
And to you.
All right. I must say, as a Jaguar fan, which I've been one since I moved to Jacksonville in 94, this has been one of the funnest seasons, despite the losses that we've had in a while. But if changes must come, and I know they will eventually, I would prefer, if Jack has to stay, David has to go. I mean, I like David as a person, but he just, as a veteran quarterback, he just makes some of the boneheaded plays at the wrong time. And I always revert back to the game in 06 when we played in Annapolis here, and Fred and Mo went for 375 yards, and we went up to Tennessee that next week, dominated the time of possession, and he just fumbled that game and the rest of the season, Kansas City and New England away. And I never trusted him since. Every time he drops back to throw the ball, I just never trust him. And I wish him well, but I'd rather go with a rookie quarterback or anybody than to continue with this path that we're on.
You got to be careful about that. And the reason I say that is David, you know, going to be an elite quarterback? I mean, I think he would have been by now. But you got to remember, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, they don't come along very often. So you're always trying to replace every player that you have on the roster. Always. Whether it be Maurice Jones-Drew, whoever. Mm-hmm. You try to get better every time. But remember, just replacing just to replace doesn't make sense. You know, you replace somebody when somebody is brought in that's better. Simple as that. And Dave, what David has done this year, I mean, he's thrown some phenomenal passes. He's had some phenomenal games, and he's had some games that you just meant, oh, geez, you got to be kidding me. But he's the best they got right now. And he's pretty good. Now, he's not terrible. He's pretty good.
And you're going to swim the St. John's River at its widest point.
Oh, they're going to draft a quarterback. I can't tell you it's going to be in the first round, but it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the first round, because a quarterback is going to fit in many spots in any round. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks in next year's draft that there will be probably three that'll fit in the top 10. There'll probably be three more that'll fit in the next 15 picks, and maybe a couple in the bottom 5 or 10 picks of the first round. There'll probably be another 4 or 5 that'll fit in the second round. So there's no doubt in my mind that the Jaguars are going to use one of their first two picks on a quarterback for no other reason than one will probably be at the top of their board when it's their turn to pick. So when they make that pick, then the clock starts. The alarm is set, so to speak, and the clock ticks. How long before the alarm goes off, which is a metaphor for the young guy takes over? Well, it's not going to be right away. I think it's almost a certainty that David Garrard will be this team's starter when next season begins. Is he the starter when next season ends? That's the bigger question.
You know, we had done this before, you know, looking at the Hall of Fame coaches. How many Hall of Fame coaches are there that did not have a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Well, there's only one who has done it with three guys, and that's Joe Gibbs. Theismann, Rippon, and Doug Williams. Knoll had Bradshaw, and Walsh had Montana.
And because of that, you
Lombardi
may say...
Lombardi had Starr, and Landry had Staubach. You know.
And and because of that, you may say that Joe Gibbs might be the greatest coach in NFL history.
You could make that point.
You could. I mean, just because of that.
Yeah, you could make that point. Now, not many people make that point, because there's some guys here that... You know, guys like Lombardi that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what, though, Vic? You look at the teams.
Joe Gibbs is out of this world.
And look at
out of this world.
Look
coach.
At the personnel that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the personnel that some of these other coaches had.
He also had no cap, and Jack Kent Cooke as an owner who gave Bobby Bethard all the money
agency,
he needed
though,
to buy out his
but
mistakes.
That was plan B. I mean, you didn't have true free agency. So it's not like it's, you know, it was baseball. It wasn't like that.
Well, they had the USFL where they brought Calvin Bryant in from the Stars, you know, bought him. I mean, the Redskins were sensational at drafting. They drafted Mark May, Russ Grimm, Jacoby, all at one time, plugged him in and had that great Hogs line. You know, Bostic was in that, and who's the guy I'm missing? It was one other guy.
You had Bostic, Grimm, and then Raleigh McKenzie was one of them for a while.
Yeah, but that's not the guy. Jacoby and Mark May, Russ Grimm, Bostic, and I forget the other one. But anyhow, you had this great Hogs line that plugged in all at one time, and those were Bobby Bethard guys. Great picks. Hey, but you know, Bobby Bethard missed on Heath Shuler. And Jack Kent Cooke.
He missed on another quarterback too, didn't he? In San Diego? Was that his pick, Ryan Leaf? Wasn't that Bobby's pick in San Diego?
Yes, because what's his name? The
John
guy
Butler.
From Buffalo, John Butler, wasn't there yet. Yeah, that had to be Bobby Bethard's pick.
I'm gonna confirm.
He missed on Heath Shuler, he missed on Desmond Howard, he missed on the receiver from Colorado, Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, these are first round busts, but he always had Jack Kent Cooke's money to buy out to fix his mistakes.
Well, and it wasn't so much money as it was draft picks, because Bobby traded away a lot of
draft
picks.
Did a lot of wheeling and dealing
to get people.
He did a great job. Timmy Smith. I mean, where did Timmy Smith come from? he wasn't
Super Bowl record rushing yards.
Yeah, I mean Timmy Smith came out of nowhere and then he was gone. Bobby Beathard was very, very good.
Yeah, Charles Mann. You know, Dexter
Manley. Ooh. Oh no, that poor son of a gun there.
Dave
if
Butch.
He didn't have the if Dexter Manley didn't have the drug problem he had, Dexter Manley would have been a Joe Green.
I don't know whether people know this about Bobby Beathard. By the way, it was his pick for Ryan Leaf. He began his career in 1966 with Kansas City, and the teams that he was with: Kansas City, Miami, Washington, and San Diego. Seven Super Bowls with four wins.
This is a Hall of Fame personnel guy. No question about it. So, you know, Joe Gibbs had Bobby Beathard, and he had Jack Kent Cook. And that's a good combination, just like it's a good combination if you're Vince Lombardi and you've got Bart Starr and you've got Ray Nitschke, although he had more than Ray Nitschke. He had Herb Adderley, Forrest Gregg, Paul Hornung, Jim Taylor. Those two guys are both in the Hall of Fame. You know, Willie Davis, he had Skoronski. He had guys up and down, Boyd Dowler, Carol Dale, Marv Fleming, you know, Hall of Famers up and down the board. But isn't it interesting how the teams that have these Hall of Famers up and down the board tend to have a Hall of Fame coach and quarterback? The quarterback makes the difference.
That's the number one position in all of pro sports.
All right, folks, we've got callers on the line and one more break to take, so let's take it now. And Bill, Sherry, and Larry, you guys are up next on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right, welcome back. 11 minutes left in the program. Let's grab some of these calls. Bill joins us from the Trout River area. Bill, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Pretty good. Love your show, and Happy New Year.
Same to
you.
Quick
question. Now that we're without our best quarterback and our best running back going to Houston, do you think that offensively the game plan may change, or should we just expect our subs to continue and just see what they can do? In other words, will it be more of a passing game, or will we just stick with what we normally do?
Jack Del Rio said today, this is an exact quote, we must run the ball.
Yeah, that's got to be priority number one. I mean, you got an offensive line that has run the ball pretty well this year, although the last 2 weeks it hasn't happened. You have to, those guys have to be challenged, because that is the group that has stayed the same. And to me, you change the game plan to suit the strengths of your players. I think all the best coaches in the league have always done that. I thought today I watched the Denver-Houston game. I thought the Denver coaches did a masterful job of playing to the strengths of their young rookie quarterback, Tim Tebow. And I think that Dirk Cutter has to do the same type of thing to play the strengths of the quarterback that's going to play this week. Now, what he does well, I don't know.
He's a checkdown guy.
Well, I mean, that's...
that's his reputation.
But you know what? In that Monday Night Football game, he had some timely, beautiful throws that were not checkdowns. So I don't expect Trent just to check the ball down. He's got a nice timing to his throw. He's got a quick release. I think there's going to be some throws that he's going to make that I think David doesn't make. You know, so but we'll see. You know, that's the challenge of getting a backup ready, and it's a backup. It's not like you had all of camp to evaluate what he does well and what he doesn't do well. You know, so I think it's even more of a challenge for a coaching staff that hasn't been able to evaluate Trent to come up with a game plan in this short of time.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Sherry is next. She's in Arlington. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, guys. Post-Merry Christmas and pre-Happy New Year.
Yes, ma'am.
Love listening to your show. I have actually a statement and also a question. Statement is, I will go and I back up John. I will, if he needs me, I'll be on yard duty today. I was a huge Tom Coughlin fan. I stood outside the stadium when he was let go and cried. And I let Tom Coughlin know that I hoped that he went somewhere and won the Super Bowl and showed the fans that were crying for his head that he was a coach worthy of having just because they felt he wasn't fan-friendly. I feel that what Gene is putting together here, I think that Jack Del Rio can take this all the way, and I think he should be given the chance. And then a question. Where does our quarterback, David, rate as far as in the NFL overall, and how many other teams would love to have him?
He's number 12 in the passer rankings right now.
Yeah, he's 12th in overall passer rating. He's second in fourth quarter passer rating. I think attempts, he's somewhere around 20th in the National Football League. Touchdown percentage, I think he's top 10. Interception percentage, he's, I think, bottom 3.
He's having a year that would make any agent proud.
Absolutely.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's going to turn it into money. I mean, if you have this kind of a year statistically and you're in a contract year, which he is not, your agent is pleased.
Does he have trade value?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's at an age now where that's going to diminish.
Right. Just curious. Depending on how things roll out in the offseason and where a draft pick is selected and the money, would there be value there?
He doesn't have high round trade value because this is a big quarterback year, and teams that need quarterbacks traditionally are teams building, teams, you know, at the bottom end of the standings.
Appreciate the phone call, Sherry. We go to Larry next. He is also in Arlington. Hello, Larry.
Hey, I'm on the air, I guess, huh?
Yeah. You are.
Okay, hey, you heard y'all talking about the Pastrini-Staver swap. I grew up in Houston, and a little bit of amplifying data on that. After the first or second AFC championship that Houston lost to Pittsburgh, Pastrini, when he got back to Houston, was in the hospital for observation.
Bad back.
One of the first inventors of the first flak jacket that snuck into the hospital with an aide, and he wore a raincoat, and he snuck into Dan's room, and he goes, "What the hell are y'all doing in here?" And he raised his raincoat up, and the guy produced a baseball bat. And he raised his arms up over his head, and the guy whacked him in the ribs a few times with the baseball bat. Dan's comment after that was, "I want one of those." The year that they swapped with Stabler, though, they lost to the Steelers 2 years in a row. Then they lost to the Raiders in the wild card game in Oakland, where Al Davis, I talked to Kenny Stabler about this. He goes, when I asked him, did Al Davis have the groundskeeper water the field down the night before that game? Because it was an unbelievable bandy mess.
It was always that way. It was always that way.
And Kenny looked at me. He was just signing my son's football. He goes, you know, that's not beyond anything that Al Davis would have done.
Well, see, there's a lot of intrigue to those years, and I don't think our listeners, for the most part, are interested in them. We're getting near the end of the show. But Al was a dirty tricks guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when he brought his team to Pittsburgh for the 1975 AFC title game, the Steelers had a grounds crew supervisor named Dirt DiNardo.
I know that name.
Who got some kind of a wild hair and decided, it was brutally cold for that game, and decided that the day before and for the night before leading up to the game, he was going to build some kind of a air pocket, air bubble out of the tarp that you put on the turf. And he held down the corners, he held down the sides with bricks, and he pumped hot air, you know, those things that they, on the sideline.
People saw that, because that's what they did in Minnesota
Hot air under the tarp to keep the turf warm. I don't know why, it was artificial turf. And we're in the Allegheny Club for the AFC ball, you know, drinking it up pretty good and looking out the window and see this big bubble of tarpaulin. And all of a sudden, it tears, and he had made a rainforest inside the tarp. And as soon as the sprinkler system broke. No, with this hot air, the hot versus the cold created a rainforest in there. And as soon as the thing broke, the field went to a sheet of ice. And Al, of course, went nuts. "You did this on purpose." It was a lot of fun. I loved it.
Makes for a great story.
It was great. It was great writing that stuff.
The old days.
Yeah.
Bring them back.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you got the sideline scandal in New York.
Yeah, you got the tripping.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I guess we do have a little of that.
Got a little bit of it here and there. You got the Josh McDaniels cheating, possibly filming an opponent.
Yep. That was not Spygate, but they called that...
Spygate 2.
Spygate 2, that's
this
right.
This year.
Yeah.
Funny how the word gate gets...
And Haley and McDaniels got into it a little bit. Haley went after him. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. But they're fining everything. I mean, Favre got fined today for $50,000 for having impure thoughts. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, what is this?
Larry, you still there? No, you're going, hey, Larry, call back. You're the Metro PCS caller of the week, and you'll receive a Jaguars prize pack. Remember, with no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Okay, we get 3 minutes left in this program. What else
have you had this week or this year that would be construed into those categories?
Well, there was the Latina reporter in New York.
It all pretty much
they were throwing balls at her, at her rear end.
Or toward, no, it's just towards her.
And let's see what else we got.
I mean, Haynesworth is, you know, this year is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not really mischievous between teams.
Seymour punched Roethlisberger in the
face. That was pretty good.
That was good. Roethlisberger's broken nose was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, from Haloti Nata.
let's see what else.
That's really about it, isn't it?
You know, I saw this today. There's a guy, I guess he's on Fox. Oh, what's his name?
Fox News?
Fox TV, who said, I saw the story, that Michael Vick should have been executed for what he did to those dogs.
I think I saw something like that too. Hold on. It was on Pro Football Talk.
What?
Yeah, that's where I saw
it. I'm looking at it. Hold on. I'll look for it.
For real.
For real. He said that he thought he should have been executed, meaning put in a gas chamber or an electric chamber. Now, I have two dogs. The one is very forgiving. He's forgiven Michael, and he likes to watch him play. The other one growls every time he throws a pass.
Really?
Hates him to this day.
Really? Huh. It's amazing how different
Michael
that can
Vick
be.
Is really a heck of a story.
That's an unbelievable story.
It's really a heck of a story.
He took a beating the other night, was it last night? Yeah. Now, he took a beating.
If he went belly up in the playoffs, that would really be a shame because he's just had one heck of a year, and it's a great story. I'm a dog lover, and I hate what he did, but it's a heck of a story.
I can't find it, but I did see that somebody made the comment.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name. Ryan Robinson sent me this story, and it's just amazing how many bizarro things.
It was Tucker Carlson.
That's it. That's the guy's name.
Tucker Carlson.
Whoever he is, I don't know.
What channels he do?
He was on Fox. He was on CNN for years.
Is he on Fox News or something?
No, he's news. And he was on, what was he on? There was a fierce debate.
a human for a dog. I mean, that's not a fair trade, right? I mean.
Well,
he writes for a newspaper
now. You
got to
go plural. Dogs.
Yeah, 10 dogs equal 1 human.
Happy New Year.
Okay.